Welcome to the Tip TV Finance Show, where I am joined by my co-host, Alan Green, who is CEO of Brand Communications, and by our guest, David Buick, who is Senior Market Commentator at Panmure Gordon. How are you today, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. All the better for seeing the
Good
two
morning,
of you.
I don't know where to begin today. Poor old Sally Yates, the Attorney General of the United States of America, gone.
Just to make an observation, because it's so easy, if you have different political leanings than other people, to get people to get offended and upset. Now, I understand why 1.5 million people have signed this petition. I get it. I understand it. And I see that 180,000 people have got time to waste from screaming abuse at Prime Minister May outside Downing Street. Yeah, I get it. But what I don't get is the indignation and the, oh, my gracious me, using different terminology, this is such a terrible surprise. Don't be ridiculous.
No, absolutely.
The bloke has been completely consistent.
Yeah.
He's come out with this stuff from day one, about 9 months ago. Okay,
he didn't really... People like to be lied to.
You know, he
would like to be swizzled and...
Yeah, no, but he didn't win the popular vote, which will always be a controversial point, but he mustered together enough votes in Congress and in the Senate to become the 45th President of the United States. And that's what democracy is. If you don't like it and you want the popular vote to win, then change the rules.
So how long before he's impeached?
That's a question I am not prepared to ask on the
television channel. Too difficult. Yeah. Or just won't happen.
He set his mandate out. Yeah. I think that there'll be 90 days and then I think it'll calm down. The business of saying that we must withdraw the invitation is quite ridiculous, because I doubt he'll even set foot in this country until the 90 days are up. And I'm actually be very stupid to do so. My guess would be that when the Queen's at Balmoral is when it will probably happen. Mind you, she'd have to come down for a state banquet, so maybe it'll be July or something of that order.
But when he comes to look at his golf course in Scotland, there are waves of protesters waving placards. So nothing,
you ask people in his hotels, they love him.
Yeah.
Apparently he's a very good employer. Hmm. And anyway, that's
he's just got on with it.
Right, just one or two issues then. So, I mean, just with Prime Minister May, she's held hands with Mr. Trump. And is it going to be politically difficult for her, or is it going to be smooth over that, the visit?
I think take her at face value. If she says there are going to be difficulties between the two of us and they must be friends, are able to talk about it. Hmm. And there are a number of issues there that she couldn't possibly agree with. But I think the most important thing is, and what is interesting to me, is you know, the number of European bureaucrats who are beginning to just backpedal a little bit and not be so draconian and so unpleasant about the negotiations. There are problems for the European Union in Holland, France and Germany, which we've discussed on Copa's Grave. The fact that Trump is behind us gives the UK some momentum, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance of a trade agreement being agreed within 2 years, because it's not the way the Americans do people. Congress takes ages to do anything. But if somebody says, I like the cut of your jib, I like what you're doing, I believe in what you're doing, I believe in free trade as far as the United Kingdom is concerned, because I think he's got a little bit of a double-edged sword, Trump, as regards free trade. Sometimes he likes it, sometimes he doesn't. I think that's really good for UK PLC. I actually think the Prime Minister's played her cards extremely well.
So do I.
And those idiots who started screaming at her, why couldn't you dismiss Mr. Trump, you know, when you were talking to President Erdogan? The answer is, she's a civilised member of the human race. She's visiting Turkey. She's talking to the Turkish Prime Minister about what they have mutually to discuss Donald Trump's immigration policy at somebody else's table. She played her cards absolutely right, and she made sure that Downing Street came out later and said, we profoundly disagree. I think she played her cards very well.
Right. Yeah. Just getting on to the nitty-gritty of the markets, or nearer to the markets, Super Thursday, Bank of England biased in favour of saying inflation, what inflation?
I think what the Bank of England will do, saying with two things, first and foremost, an apology I think is probably too strong. But I think they will upgrade growth from 1.4 to 1.8% for 2017. He will still say, Mark Carney, Governor of the Bank of England, it was necessary for me to cut interest rates by 0.25% to show the world at large that we were right behind any possible fallout. In my opinion, wrong, but he's done it. And I think he will endorse what the rest of the world thinks, that 2.7% inflation by the end of 2017 is more than a possibility. And that you cannot have interest rates at 0.25% and inflation at 2.7% without there being repercussions. Now, what I think is because, which is irrelevant, what I think is this, because the service sector is breathtakingly strong in this country, what they give away in the swings and roundabouts with the cost of raw materials and inflation, which could affect retail, I think we're going to get knocked over in the rush of tourists visiting this country this year. And I think there could be a big playoff on that, yep, on what you and I, Alan and Zach, yep, are not going to spend in the shops, our visitors are. And I think it's going to be a big, big plus. Mm. That being the case, he may not have to put interest rates up. Mm. But personally speaking, that if wage inflation does totter around just under the rate of inflation, he's going to be obliged to at some time.
And what effect would that have on the housing market? Because that really is the main danger, if there is one. People are already up to the eyeballs in costs.
I think a symbolic 0.25%, the market could handle it. And I actually think that because of the problems that the Bank of England, not the problems, that the contingency plans the Bank of England has made as regards making banks having double the capital they had 8 years ago to the same amount of business, that if there were a backlash or a real problem that suddenly, you know, we couldn't, Mr. Green couldn't pay his mortgage, Mr. Buick couldn't pay his mortgage for 3 months, there are contingency plans there. I think 0.25% is possible. I think maybe 0.5% over a period of 6 to 9 months with people adjusting.
You do note that threat that is the reason for not raising rates or delaying, or maybe the reason for not.
Well,
raising
I mean,
rates
I shudder at my children. I mean, my children have got something like five times their salary, you know, in the form of a mortgage, which makes me swallow very, very hard because, you know, it's all very well when you've got quantitative easing and you've got interest rates at 0.25% and probably building society is charging you 2, 2.5, 3% or whatever it might be. But if you ever woke up in the real world, you're dead and buried.
That's the thing. It's very scary for them, the prospects for their futures and the sort of debts they're going to be saddled with.
Luckily, I have my Tip TV salary, so I don't care.
Well, good man. Luckily, I'm older than God and I've paid my mortgage off. But I care about my children.
David Buick, senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon. Thank you very much for coming.
Great pleasure.
Thanks, Dave.